Hey, what's up, guys? Once again, it's time for the Falcon Cast here live from Falcons headquarters in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Boom. The crew is back together again. Boom. I'm not in a car. Jay's not a horse from a metal concert.
My voice is kind of back.
And DJ doesn't have on one of his 745 Falcon polos. So it's John Michaels. Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. Shock, what's up, man? No Falcon paraphernalia today. It's definitely the off season.
No Falcon pair. You know what? Now it's gotten to the point where when I look in my closet and I'm about to put on a shirt, I said, man, John might say something about this. I'm just going to wear something else. So, No Falcons paraphernalia today. But what
I'm excited about is new paraphernalia will be here shortly because it's about time for training camp.
It's getting there.
And, you know, I've already kind of put my request in to people like, can I get a pair of shorts this year? maybe a shirt, Bosek. Yeah, if that's you, if you're in charge of all this stuff. Yeah, XL.
Bosek, you can make that happen.
Maybe.
I think you can. I think you owe it to him for taking his player.
Hey.
Oh, come on. Let's not get into that.
Brought it up.
We are a good 37 seconds in, and it's happened. There we go.
And you guys put me where I'm sitting right next to him. So if I throw a right cross at some point in time.
And everybody who knows John Michaels knows he is the Miami Heat fan of the
He's
world.
Like Paul McCartney of the Heatles.
So with news of Dwayne Wade heading to Chi-Town, Bosek is cheesing right now.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
That's
I
it. He's not excited. Then.
Our GM is confused, so I don't want to get into it. It's okay. A Falcon Cast podcast. So.
All right.
Hey, let's talk some Falcons football. Jay, you brought up something interesting. You and DJ put it out on Twitter. What should we talk about? And we do this to have fun and interact with fans and let you guys know that, A, we do read what you say. We do try to take some of your criticism or some of your questions and answer them back. The video portion, I know I continue to get tweets, and I'm sure you do as well, Jay. Video, at best, will be back during the regular season at some point.
Maybe.
Potentially. Depending on how it is on Tuesday.
They hold you to it.
Comments and complaints to Brian Bosek on Twitter. At Brian Bosek?
That's it.
B-O-C-E-K.
If we have video, it's Bosek. Because of Brian Bosek. So that's why we're saying take your messages and comments that way.
Well, it's not that he would be the one to decide, but he would be the one to start shooting it up the ladder if that was the direction we were going to go. But I like the audio stuff. I'm just relaxing here, looking at my phone. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of nice.
I'm over here holding the mic.
Can do video, like, relaxed like this, mm-hmm. and not in front of, like, a stuffy
You don't
want
to do the
like
set
the
where we
stuff,
all have
like
to. Yeah.
Like, we're on the Daily Show.
Why couldn't we do it like this? You know, everybody has a mic or something, and just sitting back, relaxing. I mean, why not?
Why not?
Why that's be so formal? Why be the?
I think the camera adds a level of formality to it. Mm-hmm. But if we are not sitting staring at the camera,
yeah,
it might
we could get
make
like
us
a fixed camera in
or
here.
Get the camera.
But see, why can't we do it like they do it on TNT? Would they say Charles and Shaq? You guys just talk. And that's exactly what they do.
I mean,
they don't
care
anything about the camera.
Yeah, but they still look at the right. It's not like they just look wherever they want. They look into the camera every now and then when they do the one shot.
Charles never looks into the camera.
Charles is Charles. Charles could do it. Charles is it. That's Charles, the real Charles in charge.
Charles, yes. Charles is going to do what he wants to do. So, anyways, tweet all your video comments to Brian Bosa because he's really the only one who can do anything about it. All right, so let's start out here. So, I asked today on Twitter, which is becoming less and less about Falcons and much more about observations like the woman I saw the other day walking a cat on a leash in my apartment complex. But
I wouldn't mind that. I hate cats, so keep your cat away from me.
Well, they're out there walking it like a dog. It's not a dog. It's a cat.
I'm not really a big cat fan, so you can keep that cat on a leash. That cat come near me, we're going to have trouble.
Okay.
You can't come to my house then.
Well, I am.
Cats are awesome.
I love cats. I love all animals.
Cats have the mischievous look in their eyes, man. You can't do that.
Yeah. Okay. You have the same excuse every other cat hater has about you think cats are up to something. Cats want to eat and sleep, and they don't want to be bothered. And that's it.
Okay. That's your opinion.
All right. Well, so I asked, what should we talk about? And so I'm going to go through my mentions here and just kind of rattle them off, and we'll go through these real informal-like. So
okay.
Mark Zeno, you might have heard of, from 92.9, The Game, says he wants us to talk about how much thinner I am than John. But the problem is that we've already been scolded by fans for talking about our weight.
Our heart rate. Heart rate
and our weight programs. Mm-hmm. Plus, I don't think I'm not thinner than you. I'm nowhere near that.
You are thinning faster
than I am.
I'm thinning,
mm-hmm. but I am not thinner than you. Boy, you're both wearing cargo shorts, huh?
Where's your drink?
Guys, tweet me. Are cargo shorts back? Because like I used to love them. I heard they were gone, and I was heartbroken.
Gone? Where'd they go?
Yeah, where'd they go? If they're sold in the stores, they're not gone anymore.
They're in.
Okay.
You can rock them.
Well, yeah. I'm
Since we're going to buy a bunch of them, where's your drink concoction? You always have some type of drink concoction. I never know what's in there.
I brought down a couple of Starburst to get me through the afternoon.
Okay,
That's the key to losing weight, guys. little sugar in the afternoon. You'll never crash. You'll never
feel. You'll
never be halfway through your workout and be like, "Boy, I'm really tired."
Yeah, so of course, Mark Zeno, who if
Mark
you listen
Zenar,
to him Monday through Friday, 7 to 11 at night on 92.9.
You guys
again,
are always killing
always
Zeno by his medium shirts.
He's always the. If you want to know who he is, listen to Dan Quinn press conference and the guy who sounds like he's asking a question very angrily. That's
and he
really
asks a lot of them.
A lot of them.
It, like in Kyle Shanahan's deal, he asked every question. Nobody else got a chance
the
to talk.
The only question.
But Mark Zeno. Okay, so what did some of the fans say that actually wanted to hear
All right,
us talk
so,
about Falcons-related
so,
stuff?
Sammy underscore socialite, always one of our favorites, always talking to us on Twitter, says, you got to speak about how Keanu Neal seems like a ghost and fans want to get to know him.
Seems like a ghost?
A ghost. So what he's talking about is, you know, Keanu Neal's kind of an enigma wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in a riddle.
Okay.
So he's Jeff Hardy.
Wrapped in a very, very good safety.
Right.
So he's a tough nut to crack on the topic of himself and what he does, what he's into, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what his pet peeves are. He's not very open about those things.
Yeah.
And so people want to know a little bit more about him.
When I got a chance to sit down and talk to him when he first got drafted, he came into the facility and obviously he's a Gator, I'm a dog. So, you know, I tried to, you know, break the ice with Florida and Georgia. And, you know, he was kind of into it. But by that time he had had a long day and he had talked to a lot of people. So he was a little standoffish. And I think it's just his type of demeanor. He's the type of guy who – what you should love is he's all about ball. He's all about football. He's all about preparing. He wants to show you who he is by his actions. You have to follow him on Instagram. You have to follow him on Twitter. He does some things. I saw him a few weeks ago. He was out fishing and things like that. So, yeah, you got to kind of read between the lines. You got to follow him a little bit to see some of the stuff that he does. But he's an outgoing guy. He prefers to let his game shine a little bit more than – some of the other guys we've seen over the years who are a little flashy, a little flamboyant, who would tell you exactly who they are. But Keanu is the more laid back, especially to the media or especially in front of a camera. He's that type of guy.
You know who he reminds me of a lot when it comes to in this particular category is Curtis Lofton. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you'd be hanging around the locker room and Curtis Lofton be laughing it up with you, hooting it up, all that stuff.
I'm going to say, now, Curtis is open now.
Curtis was hilarious. He was funny. He was good to talk to, all that. As soon as the red light went on the camera, it was straight face.
Right.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
No. I think we've got to beat him. Taking it one game at a time, guys. Like, all those things. And I think Keanu's very much the same. He's a super nice kid. I can tell you he has a lovely family.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know that we're gonna find out too much more about him as a person, other than, you know, what he allows us to see on social media.
See, and I think you will eventually, because you got to remember where he's at. He was drafted in April or May. He had mini camp. He had rookie camp. This is sort of that break that they have to get away.
Yeah.
And in 3 weeks, all of a sudden, God, 3 weeks from today, we will have training camp here. That'll be a fun show because I'll be drained and Jay will be drained because DJ will be drained because we'll be outside all day.
Yeah.
And then we'll come in here and do a podcast. But
this room will smell really good.
Oh, it's going to smell awesome. But I think once you get to that and he opens up a little bit, he gets past the football install. And then you get an opportunity where he's more comfortable with the media. He's more comfortable, you know, because he'll get to know Jay really well and Bosek and DJ and I.
See, but is it a see, I've always been on one side of the media, and you, DJ, have obviously been on both sides. Is there a time when you're like, yeah, I don't mind answering questions, or are there times where like, I really don't want to answer anything today?
You know what? I was kind of the abnormal of this, because I didn't mind talking to the media. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking to people. I enjoyed the opportunity to be able to do it. But at the end of the day, there were times where I was like, I'm so tired, man. I don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah. I just want to get inside. I want to relax. I want to kick my feet up. I want to just get in the cold tub. I don't want to talk anymore. And that's going to happen in training camp. All the guys are going to go through it. You know, obviously, the training camp is not as strenuous as it used to be, but you're still going to have 2 and 3 hour practices out there in the heat, and they're going to be pulling guys one way or another. You got to go to the fans. You got to give them autographs and come over and talk to people and, you know, talk to all the sponsors. And I mean, all that kind of stuff comes along with it. And there are going to be days where guys are not going to be responding to the media, and it happens. But then there's other guys who, like we said, are all about the media. They want to put their face out there. They want to talk. They want to show their personality. They want people to get to know them. And that's just part of it. Some guys are one way or another, and you just got to figure out which guys are like that and when you can approach those type of guys for certain things. Like you said, when you guys did the thing on Jacob Tammy offseason, and you said he came in, he was super sweaty, he was super hot. He just came off the practice field, but he didn't mind doing it.
He loved it.
You got some guys who
so
can
much
do
fun
that.
With it. Yeah.
You got some guys who won't.
You know what's really funny to me is watching the evolution of a guy when it comes to how he handles the media, right? So I remember Roddy White's first couple of years, and the way he would talk to the media was very, like, not the confident Roddy White that ended his career or ended his time with the Falcons here this offseason. He came a long, long, long way. He used to, like, look at the ground and just, like, kind of mumble, and he didn't really say anything. Julio Jones, same exact thing. He'd get in front of everybody and just, like, kind of be a little bit shaken. Now he's just, like, confident in front of the camera. It doesn't matter what people ask him. It's all that stuff. I always like to see that evolution of some of these guys. So maybe you'll see it from Keanu, but I'm guessing that
And I think one thing to that fact is, I mean, when I was at Georgia, they put us through a media, you know, kind of a class session and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, here too.
And
shout out Brian Kearns.
A lot of it was sometimes guys felt like they had to answer questions, and it put them in an uncomfortable spot. So that's why you can see some guys with their head down, or they're trying to really think about what they want to say, and where it comes out a different way.
Yeah, and some guys are just naturally, like, there's outgoing people and there's people who aren't. There's introverts, there's extroverts,
right,
you know?
Right.
There's plenty of guys. When Croy Bierman was here, I don't think he said two words to anybody.
Yeah.
But he was still like when you talk to him, he's still the nicest guy. He doesn't have to be the guy that's running around screaming and yelling and having a good time in the locker room, because we got plenty of those. But it's kind of funny. Keanu's been the tough nut to crack among the you know who else is going to be tough, I think, is Austin Hooper. Austin Hooper,
really?
if you look at him as just like your California surfer guy, I think you'll get him a lot better.
So he's
like,
Jeff Spicoli,
understand him,
is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I don't know that he's like, there's a I'm like just drawing a line with my hand here. Like, it doesn't get much higher or lower than like that. It's like, yeah, man, everything's great. Things are cool. It's like,
well, here's the thing we've known.
Stereotypical.
He went to Stanford, so he's way smarter than all the rest of us. And then he lived out in California, so he's got the good life. Now he's coming down here to the South. He's, again, these rookies, I tell anybody, give them time. Because Vic Beasley was really quiet a year ago.
Yeah,
and now
and
Vic has opened
around.
Up quite a bit. So, you know, give guys time. You got to imagine, you're a 22-year-old kid. You're being handed money that you've never been able to dream of before. And, oh, by the way, your now job is to play in the National Football League. Here's an iPad, learn all this, and be ready in July, because when camp opens, this isn't like Little League where they go, hey, here's how you get in your three-point stance. You're expected to know this stuff
when
you walk in.
And, oh, by the way, you're a first-round pick, and we expect a lot out of you.
Yeah, you're a starter, and we need you.
And the media needs to speak with you every week.
And you need 7 interceptions.
I think it's kind of, you look at the running backs, and you look at their demeanors and how they are. I remember when Devontae first got here, he was more the
more
shy, you know, standoffish kind of guy. Yeah. And then, you know, when Tevin first got here, the first interview we ever had with him, he said, "Hey, I want to be the guy. I want to come in. I want to start." So you can see how some guys come in differently than others, and they just have a different demeanor about them.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's absolutely true. That's a good topic. There was somebody else that Anthony Romero wanted us to talk about, Keanu, as well. I think we all have very high expectations of him.
Yeah,
on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the importance that you have to have with Keanu Neal, especially when Dan Quinn talks about what the safety's going to be. You know, what he wanted out of William Moore, unfortunately, Willie Moe was a guy that was hurt and couldn't stay on the field. But the safety isn't your typical, hey, you got the deep third and that's it. Yeah. He's expected to rock down in the box, be able to cover out of the backfield, maybe come on a blitz from time or two, get you in some good positions, get you in some good situations. A lot's expected, and that's why I say there's a ton on his plate. Maybe more so than anybody that's coming in this year, other than maybe Alex Mack. And I'm talking about everybody that's being brought in. Keanu might have the most on his plate, and there is a lot expected.
I would say he has more on his plate than Alex Mack, simply because Alex has a guy, Matt Ryan, who's been in the league now 8-9 years, and
Alex
he's
has run the
this
offense
system.
Too.
He's run this before, so it's not like something new he's coming into. But we heard just in OTAs at minicamp, there were times the linebackers were turning around looking at number 22 saying, what do we got? What are we doing? And he's going to have to know what everybody's doing, where they're supposed to be, where he has to line up, and be able to communicate that within, you know, 5-6 seconds before the offense snaps or motions or moves, and he has to adjust to what they're doing. So he has a lot on his plate already, and I think that's the good part about him having that type of demeanor that he has now, where he is all about football, because we're going to need him to be all about it and be in his books and know exactly what he's going to do, because he's going to be the guy from day one.
Well, there's a reason he was drafted where he was and in the position he was. You know, he knows how to do it. He's done this before. He's not a shy guy. One thing I do like about this situation is the guy who's next to him, and the guy who can really help him out is Ricardo Allen, because when you talk about system smarts, playbook smarts, being able to recognize, this is a guy who is watching film all the time. He's in his playbook all the time. Another one of those soft-spoken guys who on the field turns into a general.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's a great role model, even though this is going to be Ricardo's second year as a starter. If his second year was anything like his first year, we're going to expect big things out of him as well. But then you've got that other safety who's able to be in the box and able to cover deep and do all these different things that you know you want out of that position. I think the secondary has a real shot at being one of the most improved position groups.
I think even though he's just going into his second year, you look at how many plays he was a part of last year.
Yeah.
They go through a whole season. And
the dude was cut.
Right. You go through so much.
The dude was cut.
In a season that it feels like you've been around 2-3 years after a long, grueling season. Each game, it's 70, 80 plays, you know, at the most sometimes. And you go through so many different ups and downs throughout a game that you've seen a lot, you've done a lot, and that experience can carry you over to make you feel like a veteran to help a guy like Keanu Neal.
Also want to talk about something about Julio Jones this week. And there was a great article up at AtlantaFalcons.com about, can Julio Jones become the first receiver in NFL history to get 2,000 yards? And I kind of want to debate with all of you guys, is that good for this team in particular if he gets to 2,000 yards? Because we watched, unfortunately, on the field a couple of years ago, Calvin Johnson break the single-season receiving record yard against the Falcons. Now, it wasn't just against us, but he had a tremendous year, over 1,900 yards, or close to 1,900. I don't remember the exact number. Couldn't get to 2,000 yards. But that Detroit team was out of the playoffs. It was literally throw to Calvin or bust.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Last year, you see Julio, 136, 1,871, and 8 touchdowns on the year. Great. I mean, one of the greatest receiving seasons in the history of the National Football League. But I asked both of you guys, and Shaq, I'll start with you because you've been a quarterback.
Oh, because I haven't been a quarterback, that's why?
Well, yeah. You've been an offensive lineman.
Darn you, Shockley.
Does it get dangerous? You obviously want a number one. You want a guy like Julio.
Right.
But does it get dangerous to have that guy when you almost think, I've got to throw to him every play?
Absolutely, it does. I go right back to what you just talked about with Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. After Calvin Johnson retired this year, there was an article, Stafford, talking about I think now we're going to be better because we're going to be more balanced. Coming into a game, people knew we were going to force the ball into Calvin, and they could take certain things away. Now, he said, we look at it like we have 3, 4, 5 different guys that we can get the ball to, and I think it kind of works in your favor. But when you have a Julio, you have a Calvin, they're going to get the football. I don't care who else you have on your team. If you're not using one of your best players, then you're underutilizing, you know, a receiver, a running back, or whoever it may be. And I think it can be one of those situations where it hurts you, but at the same time, they're going to get the football. But I do like the fact of you spreading the football around, getting other guys around you. I think that's the reason why you bring in a Hooper. You brought in a Sanu. You got a lot of guys. You got a Justin Hardy coming back. You got a lot of different pieces that could kind of ease the weight of, you know, you distributing the football all around. But I think you have to get Julio the football. I don't think 2,000 yards helps you win any more games. I say it like that. I think if you're under what you did last year, but you find ways to get Julio the football in key moments in the game, he's still your number one. He's still your primary target. But if you find a way to utilize everybody else around you, it's going to open up Julio for even more when you have other guys stepping up, making more plays, making more yards, making more catches.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a real distinct difference in the offense and the way the ball is spread out this year because of exactly what you mentioned, DJ. You've got more weapons that you feel confident in. You know, it took a little bit for Justin Hardy to earn his way onto the active roster, and he did it through special teams. And then all of a sudden, by default, you got to have him on offense. And you put him on offense, and he does great. And now you're expecting big things out of him in his second year. You go out and you spend the money on Sanu. You bring in Austin Hooper. You've got these guys that you can go to, and that's great. Julio was targeted 50 more times last year than he was the year before. And I think that's such a significant stat because it shows what last year's offense was built around. And I think it's no secret that it was get the ball to Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. Like the quarterback said, because he's played the position, so he knows these things. And I'm just going to go ahead, DJ, and I will go ahead and confirm your opinion that, you know, being able to spread the ball around a little bit more is you're going to be in a much more advantageous position. The other thing you got to worry about is, sorry, Bama folks, but he went to Bama. You know the little stigma that comes with, you know, they beat him up.
Yeah.
Down there, and it's because they play some very, very tough opponents.
Yeah.
You know, but Julio's had his issues with injuries before. You don't want to unnecessarily put him in a position where he could potentially get injured. And I think if you're going to eye up 2,000 yards, you're putting him in a bad position.
And, John, I'll throw out this analogy one more time before I let you comment on it. I look at it as – when you come into a season and you hear every offensive coordinator, you hear every offense say, we want to be more balanced on offense. We want to be able to run the football and throw the football. Mm-hmm. If you can only throw the football, that makes you one-dimensional on teams on bed to kind of key on what you want to do. If you can come into a season where you can spread the football around, that makes right. you even more potent. If you can run the football, that makes you even more potent. You have guys back there who can totally give you a chance to have one-on-one on the outside, give Julio, give Sanu, give whoever it is a chance to be one-on-one, then it makes it easier for everybody to get their hands on the football. Now everybody's happier, and you have a chance to score more points. You have a chance to win more games because you have so much more people contributing to the offense.
I'll ask both of you, would you take Julio this year? 36 less receptions, 371 less yards, but 4 more touchdowns.
Yeah,
that would put him at 100 catches, 1,500 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah,
and it would still be an unbelievable season in this
right.
league.
Yeah, and I think it's a ends up being a more productive season because in this offense, obviously, I mean, come on, it's offense you want to put up points. So anytime you're getting, you know, more touchdowns from your star, I think you're ultimately being better as a football team. But I think when you get into situations where you've got a guy who's putting up that kind of yardage and then the touchdowns aren't following, mm-hmm. you've got to look at where your problems are, and your problems are in the red zone. And we've seen that. It's been a conundrum for a couple of years now where you're just not able to get it past the goal line, and whether it's pass or run or whatever, you've just struggled with that. And this is a guy where you would think, and I'm not an offensive coordinator, so I don't know, but – for me, my plan would just be inside 20 yards, throw it up where Julio can get it and just let's see what happens. I'm not an offensive coordinator, though.
Really?
I'm not a quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm not an offensive
now,
coordinator.
Now, did you say
I literally have no credentials to be on this show whatsoever.
Now, hold on. Did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express, though?
I didn't even do that. I just brought down some Starbucks.
It's interesting Jay says that, though, and I get this a lot via Twitter and other places about the red zone. We see Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, guys that get back. You're 5-6 yards in. You know what's coming. It's one of the three plays is going to be a back shoulder fade to one of their receivers. And it doesn't even have to be their top receiver. Whoever we're splitting out there, we're running back shoulder fade. We're throwing
it
to the
pile. They're going to at least try it. Yeah.
I don't see that. And I haven't seen that. And I don't understand why. Shock. How hard. The back shoulder fade's got to be a fairly simple throw, isn't it? You're throwing to a spot. You're telling the receiver, this is where I'm throwing it. Make it look like you're going up the field, and I'm throwing it.
It's just man against man. It's corner versus wide receiver.
But, see, there's sometimes you got to get the right look for it because sometimes
– this is why you're here as a quarterback, is to educate us.
Can't you formation into a look, though?
You can, yeah. You can formation yourself into a look where you can get the one-on-one. Which is a good call by you, John. But I think a lot of defenses.
I'm a PlayStation offensive coordinator.
hot route.
A lot of defenses when they know you have a big time receiver, they try to get in the defense where they force you to run the football. They force you to throw a different type of play where you can't do that. A lot of times, when you have smart DBs and you get down in the red zone, they play either outside leverage so that the receiver can't get outside of them, so you force him to run a slant. So if they run a slant, guess what? There's a linebacker inside waiting on them. So they're getting some help.
I hate that slant. I don't like that slant.
And then sometimes the DB will play heads up, and on the snap of the football, he'll jump outside of the receiver, and now that's taken away. You may think you have a back shoulder. You think you have a fade, and it's taken away. There's certain things that you can do. But I can understand what you're saying.
But then how does that happen that I literally – Aaron Rodgers gets to the 5-yard line. Eddie Lacy can't punch it in on first down. I know good and well on second down they're throwing back shoulder.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's Randall Cobb. It doesn't matter if it's Jarrett Boykin. You know, they can go back and pull Donald Driver out. They're running back shoulder. Everybody in the ballpark knows it's coming, and they can't stop it. Tom Brady – now, granted, Gronk's a different story. You split him out, and you need a bulldozer to cover him. But you put him – they do the same thing.
A lot of time it's the receivers, too. The receivers, they do a good job of winning, which is they do a good job of making sure that they body the guy up where they can have that back shoulder. Or the quarterback does a good job of, I'm going to throw it regardless. I don't care what the DB is doing. I'm going to give my guy a chance. Either it's going to be incomplete or it's going to be a PI. And that's how a lot of quarterbacks like the Andrew Rodgers, the Tony Romo, that's how they think when they get down there is, I'm going to give my guy a chance. If he doesn't have it, then fine. I wanted to comment about your if he has 4 more touchdowns, and I look at it in a way of if he has 4 more touchdowns, then that means then you're doing a better job of – let's go back to last season. Last season the Falcons lost how many games by 7 points or less?
All but the Carolina game,
I think.
That's what it seems like.
So that means you have 4 more touchdowns. That means, guess what? You're winning those games. So one more touchdown here or there, or maybe a stop here and there, that helps you. So I think the comment of you saying, yes, Jay, I would take that every day of the week, because that means you're going to win those games that are actually tighter because you're getting more production. You're getting 7 points, not 3 or not 0.
I think after I said yes, I went on to explain that offensively you want to score points, which I think is
it's great analysis is what it is.
It's what I went to college for. It's what I went to college for. Mm-hmm. It's why I played offensive line in varsity football. And why I'm here on the Falcon Cast. Those are my credentials. Hey, guys, got to score more points.
But in the
on
day,
the offense.
But look, at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it sounds like it's something really. But it's the name of the game. It's simple as that. You want to score points.
The point I was trying to make until my brain got involved was that you would rather take the 4 touchdowns over the yards because the yards mean nothing to a team. And that's what I love is that that's what Julio is all about. Julio will take 300, 400 less yards, fewer yards to get 4 touchdowns because he knows those 4 touchdowns are going to help his team a heck of a lot more than keeping pace with Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham or whoever, you know, because he doesn't care about those comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about – and we wrote another piece about this on AtlantaFalcons.com. It's just how humble and hungry this guy is. I mean, he's got everybody telling him, hey, you're the best wide receiver in the league, or one of the best wide receivers in the league, and yet this is a guy who comes out and he still wants more. It's never good enough, and it's not good enough because he hasn't won a ring. And so that's what you got to love about this guy, is in the age of the diva wide receiver who cares about his stats and all his personal accolades and things like that, you've got this guy that's like, yeah, I just had one of the best seasons a wide receiver has ever had at a position where you've had some tremendous players play in history. And he's like, I don't care about that. I only care about one thing, and that's winning.
And I think the big thing comes down to, he understands it's all about what have you done lately. And he doesn't want to be one of those guys that we talked about. It was, well, he had one good year here. He had two good years. Then he had a off year. And then you become in the category of, you know, he's a sometime receiver. He can play when he wants to type of guy. And you don't want that kind of guy. It's like we talked about earlier. We did podcasts on some of the things that guys are doing that is kind of interesting, you know, techniques is, you know, Madden the mirror. You never think a guy who's been around, who's thrown, what, is seventh, eighth, fourth, fifth, sixth year of 4,000 yards or more. I mean, you think, you know, he's going to do that regardless, but he's still worrying about his footwork. It's still worried about how he can get better and have even more yards or be a very more productive player.
You know where I'm disappointed at all of you guys?
Oh, boy.
You guys had the Matt in the mirror.
Matt in the mirror.
How did we not have a video with the Michael Jackson man in the mirror, but we make – somebody singing Matt in the mirror.
Let me tell you something about royalties, my friend. Let me tell you something about the cost of music, particularly the Michael Jackson catalog.
It's going to cost you.
We could have sung it.
Oh.
We're looking at the our Matt in the mirror. Mirror. Footwork just won't be the same.
Okay, so we actually, we just accomplished one of the things in my mentions, which was, our good friend Katie Merriman asked us to sing the Falcon Cast slow jam style. Okay. So we just nailed that one.
That's,
so
that's been great. Done.
A little Matt in the mirror.
One thing that we do have to address is West Durham would like to know why John is tempting his preseason health by playing in a flag football tournament. Did you know about this?
I asked him about this before we came on, and I will allow Mr. John Michaels to elaborate on this, because I surely asked him, and I was really, really concerned when I asked him.
My favorite is that Wes seriously asked him, John, can we have a preseason without a sling or a boot, please? because we are, what, 2-for-2 now?
Let's see. This will be my, I believe, fifth season on the side. It's either fifth or sixth season on the sideline.
And how many times have we been injured in the preseason?
Twice in the preseason, once in the regular season.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so we're playing flag football.
And we'll back it up for those of you that don't know.
60% now.
I tore an Achilles back in 2010. That was before I was working for the Falcon.
60% of the time you're on the sideline injured.
I'm an all-star.
That's just funny.
Wes has also said, I've had more injuries than guys that are actually playing on the field as a sideline. So we'll back up. Injured before I started on the sideline, I tore my first Achilles. So my first year on the sideline, I was like 270 pounds. It was a struggle getting up and down the field because I had Achilles surgery. I was fat as all get out. I see a picture of me in the New York playoff game. I looked like a roly-poly mixed with a Goodyear blimp in a suit, which was horrible. So the next year I come back 40 pounds lighter and healthy.
Yeah.
100% healthy.
Able to get up and down the sideline.
No problem. Nope. I was moving along. The year after that, I was fine during the preseason. I make it to the regular season and dislocate my ankle. Playing with my kid in the backyard.
No, you don't get sprained ankle. You don't get a jammed finger.
Nope. Yeah, these aren't minor injuries.
These ain't minor. So, like,
we need surgery and physical therapy.
This man got
afterwards.
Achilles, and now he got a dislocated ankle.
Yeah, but I showed up at the Carolina game. This was like week 12. We were having a great season. I was good. I booted it up for one game, and then after that I was fine. I just wore a brace. Going to the next preseason playing basketball, I tear my bicep. So that's actually the only game I have ever missed. And I may be out of order with which one. Those may have been the same.
He's got so many.
Can't keep up with him.
You know what? That was.
You know what? Maybe you shouldn't play flag football.
We'll get to that in just a second. But no, the only game I missed was the game that Roddy White sprained his ankle against the Ravens because I had surgery and they didn't want me to fly and everything else. Mm. So I did half the season in an arm brace. And then last year, literally weeks before training camp, I tore my other Achilles playing basketball. So
two Achilles, a bicep,
And a dislocated ankle.
And a dislocated ankle.
And now going out to play flag football.
So here's the reason I'm considering. And
how
I
have you not been put out in the glue factory?
I have been.
Oh,
there's
man.
A reason I'm getting married. That's
yeah.
Because I no longer
well, you're
have.
You're not going to the stud farm. I'll tell you that much.
Please explain why the word considering is even.
Well, there's no considering. Yeah, yeah. I am playing. I'm making
okay.
a comeback.
Oh,
but it is going to be.
Comeback.
It's going to be very. It's gonna
wrong
be,
answer.
It's going to be a brief appearance.
But we can dial in from a hospital room, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you can mic me up, whatever you
there
need.
We go.
So long story short, I played in this league for 15, 16 years. And the league is actually advertising on the radio station I work at, 92.9, because they have a big tournament. The tournament's actually called Fallen Warriors. It's for people that have actually died from playing flag football or friends of the flag football community.
Oh, wow. Died playing flag football?
There was a guy that died, had nothing to do with the flag football. He had a heart attack on the field. Geez. So
oh,
they make the tournament sort of in his honor. Teams from around the country play. So I'm going to go back and play. But I've already told my team that I play with, look, I'm getting a jersey. I'm going to come out there. I want to play like 3 plays a game. Like, let me go out and hit somebody and come off to the side. That's all I want to do. I don't need, like, a whole game worth. My body doesn't do that anymore.
You need to be, like, the center, man. Just freaking snap it.
Well, let's see. It's 8-on-8. It's full contact flag football, meaning we hit with no pads, and I do play center.
Don't even
full,
play 3 snaps.
John, full contact?
For crying out loud,
full
can
contact.
You coach, please?
No. I need one. See, here's the thing.
Why is it even a flag if it's full contact? I don't understand. Because
the lines are live. The outside coverage, like we could play bump coverage. The lines block, like full block. Robert Edwards played in the league.
Unreal.
My boy Rob played in
he
it?
He actually played on my team down in Florida.
For real?
Yeah, Rob's a good dude.
I got to air Rob about that.
Ask him about going down to Orlando with a team called Gang Green. He played with – that was my guy. Rob was my dude. We lost in the finals. Really disappointed in the national. Anyway, but yeah, I am going to try my best because the tournament is a week.
As John's talking, Jay is over here just shaking his head like no.
All right, here we're going to do this. All right, remember that Brian Bosek at, you know, on Twitter, at Brian Bosek, give us your date that John injures himself.
Well, the tournament is a week from Saturday and Sunday.
It's
a 2-day
coming
tournament.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Which I did sprints yesterday. And
so Saturday and Sunday?
Of next week.
See, but you've also got the rest of your life between then. So that it, like,
oh,
literally.
I'll be hurt soon. Let's
that's what
not
I'm
kid
saying.
Ourselves.
It's like, it's not just the tournament. I mean, the tournaments are probably. You're going to get even money on the tournament, right?
I'm going to be like Daniel LaRusso. I'm going to have tape on my ribs.
Yeah. But you
Mr.
might be.
Miyagi
a,
to do this.
You might be a 5-1 on like a Wednesday. You
the
know,
group,
is what I'm saying.
The group text is coming, and it's going to say. You're not going to believe.
You're not going to believe this.
You're not going to believe.
No, John, we are. No,
this time it wasn't even my fault.
Here's what I have planned. I don't know if Wes will listen this far in, but I play Saturday, and so even if I don't get hurt, I still have like a boot, a sling, everything else. I've got enough.
Like
I'm showing up Monday to work because they are all like, you cannot play. You cannot miss
do
work.
It.
It's all
do it, do it,
I'm
do
showing
it.
Up. I'm going to wear the brace
and
the
boot
and come in there like, oh, you guys won't believe what happened this week. So,
that's great.
And we're going to I'm going to knock on wood or whatever and pray that I don't hurt something.
Dude, we're going to pray for you.
No, but seriously, tweet Bosek your date that you think that but now between now and training camp that John gets hurt. And if he gets hurt and somebody is close or gets the date, we'll send him a jersey.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Don't get hurt.
Okay, so let's define
dude,
what
I don't. I don't know many guys that I've played with, college and pro, who've had major injuries as much as you have.
Yeah, it's got to be a major injury. It can't be like, oh, I got a paper cut.
I saw Dr. Karras last year for my second Achilles, and he looked at me and goes, "How do you keep getting hurt?" He goes, he asked me not to put my personal, but he asked me, had I ever done PED? He goes, because I've never seen somebody with ligament injuries like this that hasn't done PEDs. I said, no, I've done WINGSs. <That's it. laughs> There's no PEDs. It was just a lot of chicken wings.
Those ligaments are good. Oh, they can only take so much.
So much barbecue and blue cheese.
Oh, man, that's cool.
All right, let's do a break with Bosek before we get completely off the rails, which I think we already
have. We're past that.
All right, here we go. Top 10, the NFL Top 100 was going on this past few months.
True.
This past week, we had Julio Jones in the top 10. He fell in number 8. The players voted him. He was the 8th best player in the league. I wanted to know if you guys thought that was deserving, if he should be higher, which I'm guessing you will say so, or if there's any other player in that top 10 that you think should be in a different place.
I'm a little surprised that if we're going to call it the best players, so what ultimately what the players are doing is they're voting on the best players they think going into 2016, and you're basing that on the season that they had before, right?
Pretty much.
I have a hard time with Aaron Rodgers being in the top 10 because of the season that he had. I mean, for Aaron Rodgers, it wasn't great, right?
Yep.
So for me, it's Julio at 8 is an interesting spot for him, but I think you could make a really, really good case that he should have been top 5. Like, there's not
he shouldn't have been further away from Antonio Brown, who was at 4, right?
That's what I'm saying. I think they were right on top of each other.
Yeah,
I would argue that, okay, so you're talking about a different skill set with each guy. Like,
right.
Antonio Brown's going to be your speedster, but Julio's more athletic, and he's going to make some of those kind of crazy catches that maybe you're not expecting. He's going to be able to jump, do all that kind of stuff. I'm with you. I would think that those two guys would be a little bit closer, but you know, when you get to the top, you're talking about splitting hairs between some of these guys because the talent in that top 10 is big.
Even when you mentioned Aaron Rodgers, though, I think even though he didn't have the season that everybody expected him to, I think whenever Aaron Rodgers is on the field, and this is speaking, the players are, you know, making these.
They're the ones voting, yeah.
I think they still feel like if Aaron Rodgers is on the field, there's fear that he will torch you.
Absolutely.
And I think players don't look at overall. They look at some numbers. They look at some stats. But they look at, when I see this guy playing,
right,
this guy is a top player.
Right.
See,
I get that. Yeah. I definitely get that.
So you guys say, and you said this, Shock, Aaron Rodgers didn't have the season he was expected. He threw 31 touchdowns last year and had 8 interceptions. Won a playoff game without his number one receiver for the entire year. His running back was built like me. They had an offensive line that couldn't block a sieve and a defense that was decent. And that's what we call – that's the expectation for Aaron Rodgers.
And that's why he's top 10.
I'm trying to get Julio up at least one spot, man.
Well, here's –
that's all – like, it's hard when you look at some of these guys that are up there.
I look at this. Here's two guys I would not have in the top 10, and I've got two guys to replace him. Adrian Peterson wouldn't be in my top 10.
Okay.
Good year, 6 fumbles, had some critical fumbles that cost Minnesota games.
Yeah. But apply DJ's criteria to it.
Wouldn't have him there. I would not have him in the top 10.
You play against AP, you're not scouting up against him. You're
of
not
course
all that
you
afraid.
Are. Anybody,
you if you're a player, you're not thinking 50. About his 6 fumbles. You're thinking about, at any given time, this
that
dude may run me over.
Gigantic.
Who are you thinking of more, though? Adrian Peterson or Von Miller?
Von Miller.
Von Miller's not. Von Miller's not in the top 10. I'm taking.
Oh,
AP
okay.
Out
yeah, yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
Put Von
yeah,
Miller
yeah.
in.
Okay.
Like I'm also not putting Odell Beckham in the top 10 because they don't have Ben Roethlisberger in here, and I know he was banged up last year. Some of the reason Antonio Brown had an unbelievable year was because of what Big Ben was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I could mix them around, I would have Aaron Rodgers number 1.
Oh, okay.
Tom Brady would have been number 2 for me. Cam Newton would be number 3.
Wow.
Number 4, I think I had J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
5 would be Luke Kuechly. 6 would be, I think I had Rob Gronkowski. 7, Julio Jones. 8, Antonio Brown. Then I'd have Von Miller and I'd have Ben Roethlisberger. And I might even have Vaughn above some of the offensive players.
I just saw Big Ben yesterday at Bruce Ayers golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're golfing, Shock?
Yeah.
Shock, you were out golfing?
In a brand new Falcons polo.
This is for charity. This is supporting Bruce Arians. But Big Ben would have been proud to hear that from you, John. I'm just saying.
Dude, Big Ben's a monster.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I mean, he's a big dude, and he's one of the quarterbacks that does not get the credit he deserves for how great of a quarterback he is.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what is – like, well, I mean,
I know the off-the-field stuff that he went through. Everybody we talked to at Todd Francis camp, the New Era All-Star Football camp about 2 weeks ago, every defensive player I talked to said he's the hardest person to get on the ground. Even more – they said Cam's more elusive. Cam will run away from you. There were guys that said I was unimpeded, full sprint, hit Ben with everything I had, and he just sloughed me off and – completes a 35-yard pass.
That guy's built, man. He's big. I mean,
that's what he's known for, man.
Yeah.
He's known for getting away and making the next play happen.
But when you talk about, like, these top 10 lists, and this is great fodder for, for debate. You know, Twitter's been talking about this for a while, and you know, this one's special because the players only vote on it. So that my understanding is that every player in the league, it's not just like a couple, puts a ballot in and they fill out 1 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just to be mentioned in the top 10 is a huge honor.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is too, like, who do you build a team around? Right, so more times than not, you're going to build a team around a quarterback,
yep.
And so your quarterbacks are always going to end up in top positions, mm-hmm. you know. And so I agree, your top three sounds very reasonable. So I just look at the freak that Julio is. He's the kind of player that does not come along very often. But how do you rank a wide receiver versus, like let's say you put him and J.J. Watt on a scale. Who
impact.
Are you taking?
Impact.
Right, impact. But you measure that impact in very different ways.
Yep.
So,
but they both can change a game.
Exactly. And so this is why I'm talking about, you kind of end up splitting hairs here between, like, if you're going to say, all right, you know, literally, who is better between J.J. Watt and Julio Jones? How do you answer that question?
I think for me, when you try to disseminate who's better on the two of those.
Who's the bigger for their team?
Well, no, it's not even that. Julio needs other people to do stuff for him to impact the game. He needs a quarterback to get him the ball. An offense, and it's not to say you can't turn and hand the ball to Julio. J.J. Watt can split a double team, sack your quarterback, strip the football, pick it up, and score.
Well, it doesn't hurt. You got Vince Wilfork in the middle too, kind of taking up some attention. But
takes up a lot. As long as he's not on the body issue cover.
No. Now, see, let's talk about that, because I think that is fantastic. As a large man myself, I have declared this the year of the big man because of Vince Wilfork. It hasn't taken off yet, but I'm hoping that
I think we should hashtag
at
that
at some point, because you remember like a year ago or something, it was like dad bod, and I'm like, ooh, we're getting closer. You know, we're getting like a little bit closer, ooh, to where I might be considered attractive.
Should we do a Falcon Cast body edition?
Oh, that would be
Look, Shock's loving it.
Bosek, what'd you say? Bosek?
Shock's over there with a big smile going, yeah.
Bosek's picture is like literally a shirt on a hanger.
Bosek, he said no.
You won't see it.
See, I don't care. I laugh at myself all the time. I would do
that's
it in
what
a heartbeat.
I do too.
I would do that in
I wouldn't
a heartbeat.
Care.
Although my tan lines right now, because, you know, I've been hanging out with the kid, laying by the pool every day when I get off at 2 o'clock.
Nah.
Man, there's an area where shorts are that's pasty as all get out.
It's fine,
and the recipe
John, that's
is nice.
Fine,
and
we don't need to hear that.
We can Photoshop.
But
you
look,
don't need that.
I like Vince Wilfork on the cover of the body issue because I'm tired of these toned, genetically blessed mutant freaks being on there. Some of us have slow metabolisms, and I think that we need to be accepted a little bit more,
Jay, you're hilarious,
into society. Now we're working towards. We talked at the top of the show, yeah, not much, but we're
getting there.
But it's the year of the big man in my mind, and any day now, people are going to recognize just how sexy Vince Wilfork is, and then look for the rest of us who happen to
fall in that category, huh?
Yeah. That's my hope, anyway.
And that's the way we'll end the Falcon.
All right.
And thanks for tuning in.
Hey, make sure you check us out on iTunes. Type in Falcon Cast, subscribe. You can take us on the go. We'll be back next week. I'll be 1 week closer to being hurt again. Submit that stuff to at Brian Bosek.
That's right.
When will I be hurt during preseason? Add Wes Durham in there as well. At Wes Durham. Not Wes Drewham, like the commercial said. Just at Wes Durham. Gentlemen, it's been great.
Hello.